Welcome to this episode of A Couple Takes on MS. Hi, I'm Dan Dingman, and I'm walking.
And I'm Jennifer Dingman, and I'm rolling.
But together, we're moving forward.
Today, we are most excited to welcome our dear friend, Kathy Chester.
Kathy is a fitness guru and an MS podcaster. She is one of the leading trainers in personal training, group training, autoimmune fitness training, and MS movement and therapy training. Having MS and rheumatoid arthritis and epilepsy, Kathy brings her unique insight and approach to the autoimmune community. Welcome, Kathy.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
We couldn't be more excited. And so we know who you are. And I mean, because this is, and we are going to get together. I mean, you're like, what, two and a half hours away here in Michigan. But if, yes. So it's like, we know who you are, but for everybody out there listening, what's your elevator speech? I think, you know, as far as when I work with partners at work, it's like, you know, tell me, why would I as a student want to come to your university? So if we ran into you on the 30th, you know, the ground level going up to the 30th floor, you run into us, what would you tell us about who Kathy Chester is going up to the 30th floor?
Well, I guess that there's so many parts of me. So it would really depend on what you're looking for. You know, I mean, there's so many things that I do. Do you want to podcast with me? Do you want to do a workout with me? Do you want to just cry with me? Do you need counseling? So there's just so many parts, I think. For example, I was at the supermarket the other day, and I was just putting stuff, you know, in the cart, and this lady, the cashier, just started crying. And I was like, oh my goodness, like, how can I help? And she actually had multiple sclerosis. And she just said she was having a really rough day cognitively, and she has multiple sclerosis. And I just hugged her. And I said, I actually have multiple sclerosis as well. And I ended up talking to her for a long time. She was diagnosed in 1994. And she had never taken any medications and just was afraid. And so, I mean, that's when I turned into the counselor. And then people want to move. And then I'm you know, the trainer. And so that's where I come into MS Disrupted. And that's where my platform is, where I help so many with autoimmune diseases just understand how movement is so important for their bodies and in so many ways. And we know that now. And then there's the podcast part, which has been such a dream of mine for so many years. And really am enjoying that. As you guys know, having you on last night.
That was a ton of fun.
So yeah, you're
such a good host. I mean, just in terms of like pulling people in and balancing and, you know, just engaging everybody that's on the episode, but then also making it very, very pertinent to the listeners. And so that's such a value. So thank you.
Oh, thank you. And ditto back at you guys both. You do such a great job. I've really enjoyed listening to your podcast.
Well, thank you.
And I guess the backstory, Kathy, for listeners, when were you diagnosed with multiple sclerosis?
So I was diagnosed, and that's always so tricky, isn't it? When you're getting older and older, like when was I? So diagnosed first with rheumatoid, and that was in the 90s. So later in the 90s, and then not too long after, diagnosed with multiple sclerosis after. So rheumatoid came up first. And at that point, the MS diagnosis was missed. And I, of course, wasn't, you know, telling anyone anything. And I honestly did, who knew what it was?
Right.
I felt like numb strips, you know, up and down my legs. Didn't share that with anyone. Felt like my toes were numb. And then it became from my shins down to my feet, my hands. Finally, what brought me to the ophthalmologist was having optic neuritis in my right eye. Of course, a holiday, right? Because that's how it goes.
Yeah, stressful time.
Always, yes. So Mother's Day morning, I wake up and no vision in my right eye. And, you know, then, of course, the whole family's trying to guess what it is. And I actually was diagnosed by the ophthalmologist, when I found out later, was pretty common. and sent me to the hospital immediately with just a neurologist, not one that specialized in MS. And I'm not sure even at that point how many there were. We're talking, you know, late 90s, so there weren't a ton. So went on the two choices, maybe three, Copaxone and Avonex had just come out then, I believe. And then Betaseron, I think, was still around. So I chose Avonex for my first and was still relapsing like mad. And then got into the trial for Tysabri and stuck with that and did very well with that.
Okay. So, I mean, your journey sounds similar to mine. And I know to Dan's, where we start out, we were diagnosed in the, you know, diagnosed in the dark ages when they didn't have the medicine, some of the treatments that they have now. But it was right. It was jarring. And then for you to be living with rheumatoid arthritis and then get a second diagnosis, that had to be just incredibly, how did you handle that? And then moving forward, you do so much with MS. Does your rheumatoid arthritis kind of take the back seat, or is that, I mean, how do you juggle having two chronic conditions like that?
Well, actually now I'm just, you know, collecting them like Pokemon cards, I keep saying, because now I've got the epilepsy too.
Oh, so, yes.
I think, you know, they take turns. Sometimes they fight for who's first. In the winter months, it seems that the rheumatoid really fights to win. But I think, you know, through the years, I feel like I was pretty strong with once I was on Tysabri, it kept me pretty strong. And I feel like because I had my grandfather that had it and my aunt, and I saw how much it didn't make sense to me. They were so, you know, again, back even further, we're talking where they just were told absolutely lie down and don't, you know, do anything, but just preserve your body and rest. And I watched that, and being involved in so many sports and exercise, it didn't make any sense to me. I just kept thinking, I've watched this already and I've watched them pass away. So this doesn't make sense to me. And so immediately, even though the diagnosis was really difficult for me, I didn't want to stop moving. Probably not the smartest moves. I remember thinking I could run out the disease and I'd get on the track and keep running and running. And, you know, my husband at the time would say, stop. And I'd say, no, I'm going to run it out.
Yeah.
Eventually I knew I couldn't do that. So, you know, I got smarter and I just really learned how I would exercise smartly with this disease. What does it take to keep my body strong without and it really is by trial and error, right?
Right.
You learn like, oh, this is too much. I can't move anymore. And so that's kind of how I learned, and more certifications. And then as I started training and doing more training, people started coming to me, and I was getting found in the different gyms that I trained in to help more special population, and really getting so much more out of that.
That's incredible. And I can't imagine if I heard you correctly, because we are doing this interview over the phone. If I heard you correctly, you said your grandfather and your aunt.
My aunt, yes.
Both had multiple sclerosis.
All on the same side, too. And then my son has it as well.
Your son also has MS.
Yes, my oldest, yeah.
Wow.
Yes. And to which the experts say it's not genetic or hereditary.
Exactly, yeah. Right? And I'm like, really?
So how frustrating is
my family?
Yeah. How frustrating is that for you? And I imagine that probably, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I imagine that makes you want to fight the disease that much harder and to prove, like,
gosh,
look what I can do.
You bet. I mean, I think, you know, as a mom, I think it, for me, it was, you know, before I knew my son would ever get it, for me, I just wanted them to look at me and say, you know, before we knew so much about it, before we understood that there was going to be so many different breakthroughs, I think I just wanted my kids to know that I fought as hard as I could. I didn't ever want them to ever look at me and say, well, she just gave up. I always wanted them to know I took this disease and I gave it hell and I didn't give up.
Certainly.
And that's what I really wanted them to know. And that's probably my proudest thing is that they look at me and they just see me as a fighter. And they always tell me, you know, whether it's the podcast or they'll repost my silly things and say, you know, we're just so proud of you. And we love that you never stop the fight.
And that's it. So impressive. And Dan and I are just both sitting here like, wow, you know, that's it. How many children do you have?
Well, three and then my two stepchildren, which are just the same to me. So I love
right.
them all equally.
So yeah. So total. You have five total children and you're busy taking care of yourself and three chronic conditions. And next time I want to whine and complain, I'm going to think what would Kathy do? You know, that's so awesome.
Thank you. But, you know, we all have our stuff, you know, and it's like we all have our days and the closer we get, it's like, nobody knows unless you know, right? You don't get it till you get it.
Right.
And I love having, like, the closer we're getting, having that ability to pick up the phone and say, I just feel like crap and I just need someone to complain to that gets what I get. And so it's just, and yeah, all the feelings that you walk through, like you asked me as a mom, like the guilt when my son found out he had it, you know, in your head, you know. Like it, you didn't give it to your son, but you did. And it's like, you can't quite get over that as a mom. There's always that guilt that you really have to work through.
And I imagine you continue to have to work through. And that's the thing about, you know, anyone who's listening, who's been newly diagnosed with MS, this is a process. I mean, it's been 25 years and I feel like some days I have it and I understand the disease and then I wake up the next morning or an irrational lunatic because I can't hold the fork up to my mouth or my handwriting looks like crap. And I'm sure Dan, he's nodding and agrees with that.
And because we all understand, you know, I don't know what it's, I don't know what it's like to not walk, but at the same time, I can relate because of the things that I no longer can do because of this disease. And so, and thinking of this then, and we were, you know, looking at you and, you know, and then find out that you had rheumatoid arthritis first and doing
right.
And this is where, and selfishly, we as members of the MS community, we feel blessed that you chose to focus on MS. I mean, you have talking about MS disrupted. And so then it's just a question. So we want to talk more about that. But in doing so, I wanted then, it's like, well, then gosh, why was it not RA disrupted? So, I mean, how did this come about in terms of why you wanted to go into this rather than just being just Kathy Chester?
Yeah, I believe that the MS was so peculiar to me, and it really took over much, much more of my life than the RA did. And even still, the RA at times just can be a real bugger. And the older I'm getting, I feel it more and more. However, the MS does so much more in my own body. Not that the RA can do whatever it wants at any time, but the MS took a hold of me so much quicker. And really just kind of had a field day with my body so much faster and was so much more unpredictable. And I saw it do so many things in the clinic that I was at so fast to people. And it just, in my nerdiness, I was so fascinated how someone could come in 1 month and then the next month completely different. That I just felt like, I just felt such compassion and like this is something I can do something about. I can help.
And you talk about how it affects everyone so differently. And I think of you, me, and Dan, just the three of us in this conversation that we all have multiple sclerosis. And it's so different for each one of us. And how you took control of your disease or you're managing your disease through exercise and I would imagine diet and lifestyle choices, and you offer that to your community out there. You put yourself out there, and that's very admirable. And you know, it's nice that you provide that shoulder for us to cry on too, and you offer up your your experience, your knowledge. And so do you offer classes? I've seen I don't want to say online, but remote classes, or how exactly, if someone's listening, they say, mm-hmm. wow, Kathy sounds fantastic, I want to hook up with her. How would they do that?
So there's a couple different ways. So you can come in studio. So if you're right around here, and come in with me. And then the other way, like, so anybody that's further, which is tends to be much more comfortable now, especially after COVID, is just on Zoom. So you get a link and you come on with me. And so it's either for a Zoom class where you have different participants, which is really nice. People really enjoy that, where there are other people where they can look at, they're either seated or standing. And it's funny because when we started, I said, maybe we'll do one that's a little bit, that has people that are standing and one that has people that are seated. And people are just really kind of enjoying each other's presence. And so now I just have it all combined. So I just will show like a seated move, and I'll show a standing move. And I'll show, now if you're seated and the leg won't lift, this is what I want you to do. If you're standing, make sure that you've got a chair in back of you for support. And I always kind of put that caveat out there before I begin. Make sure that you've got water. Make sure that you've got a, you know, cool temperature. And so I try to make it fun as well when we're in the Zoom class where everybody's in it, so that you know, like, you know, I might do a dance off, a seated one, and, you know, those that are standing, just to kind of break it up and make it fun. And every time we always do stretching before and after. And then the one-on-one is catered to you for your body, for what you need. And so we work on the areas of functional movement and really working on that neuroplasticity. And that's just for you and I, for whoever that person is, that we do 2 days a week or 3 days a week. And that's just that private lesson that's just between me and that person. And that's just the most important thing to me, is that I'm there, whether it's a class or whether it's one-on-one, that it's not a video that you're just doing it to. I want to be able to watch you, so that if your foot is turned wrong, or that if you're going down and it's too low in a squat and you're not able to see, I can never imagine you doing it by video. How on earth would I say you're doing great if I'm not watching you?
That makes sense. And for those of us out there, what exactly does neuroplasticity mean?
So it's really every time we move, right? So every time we try something, every time we start to walk, every time we lift our arm up in a new way, that's already building neuroplasticity. So every time we're doing something that we're doing again, that we're retrying, we're building that. So every time we try to do, I mix it up cognitively as well. So I might do a squat having them count it out, 1, 2, 3 down, 1, 2, 3 up. Now that squat, if you're seated, can be, you know, clenching your glutes, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3 out. A squat doesn't have to be you're coming up and coming down from a sit to stand. And so it could be just the balance and the cognitively, the counting and counting in and out.
I see. I think that's excellent.
So how?
Yeah, there's so many fun things to it.
Such as, I was going to ask a question, but I'm just like, just fun. And I mean, just in terms of the movement and everything, does that make?
Absolutely.
Do you find that then when people are doing the exercises, how much does this empower them? Even for those that they can't do, just the movement and accomplishing the exercises they need to do.
Well, if you could see me, I have a big smile, because it's been all sorts of stories from like people that have never been able to stand in the shower, being able to stand in the shower, just the confidence builder, and the idea of just insomnia, helping with that, helping them to be able to be more confident to go out, but then also having more the medications for depression and anxiety, being able to get rid of a lot of those. Because we know what exercise does, the doping effect, and being able to get their spirits lifted, just being able to have movement in their body. And the changes that take place in their face, their expressions even, and then the strength that takes place. And then, like you had said, that shared that story, and I don't want to give it away, but being able to even from a lower position, and they have fallen, but now they've got that upper body strength, and they're able to take their elbows and move and then climb up, which is phenomenal to me. You know, just every time I get so excited when I hear those things.
And so I imagine hearing that in working with this population and seeing people get better and get stronger and be more self-effective, if that's a word. But that probably motivates you and keeps you going. Is there any, for people who are listening and they're having down days, what keeps Kathy Chester going?
All of the clients' faces every day. And knowing that this is our best way. If you understand that exercise is medicine, and you understand that this is our best defense for this disease, then you'd understand why it makes me so excited to watch each person do it. Because I know that the outcome is going to be a better life.
Yes.
And so we talk about this, and there's always the, you know, what you're doing to help other people to stay active. So it's just like, then do you get the same rate of return on you? I mean, who helps you? I mean, or is it seeing their faces? Because I mean, what you're doing, I mean, I told Jennifer, you know, I used to run, but then after right. you know, my legs didn't work as well. Mm-hmm. And now it's just like the thought of walking around the neighborhood just wears me out. And I'm thinking, how am I going to do this? So it's just like,
right.
How do you keep going with that? I mean, because you're the one that has to then be on fire every time right. you have a class. You have to be,
I think you just have to love it. You really have to. And I just love what I do. I think if you don't, I mean, I love it so much, Dan, that I gave up my gym. You know, I didn't want to do it anymore. I thought if this is my legacy, I want it to count. I want my kids again to look at me and say, we're so proud of what you did.
And you gave up your gym. I mean, in terms of training, fitness and everything. And then you make the leap and you do this with MS. Obviously, I mean, I would imagine you did research to see, did it surprise you? Mm-hmm. In terms of your specialty now, in terms of people mm-hmm. with chronic conditions, I mean, as I looked around, I didn't see a lot specifically to that. Did it surprise you?
Right.
And is this what gives you, no pun intended, but like a leg up on the competition, that it's just like you are not only an incredible trainer for everybody, but it's like you get it and you understand it. You're not going
right,
to push
right.
somebody who can't lift their leg and think that they're just being weak. You understand the disease. How
right.
what gave you the confidence to make that leap?
You know what, honestly, during COVID and all of those things, it really gave me, because before then, you know, who had time? I didn't have time to go in and look at what other people were doing as far as programs and things like that, because I was so busy in my own studio, my own gym, and taking on, you know, clients and special population that I could within there. And then when, you know, COVID hit, I think that I was a little bit horrified at some of the things that I saw in some of the bigger places within the social media that I did see taking advantage of us. And I think it gave me just enough to know that it was time for me to step in. And I just thought, it's too much, and I can do this. And so I made this wonderful plea to my husband, what do you think about me giving the gym up? I'll make a third of my income, maybe less. And this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. So he was he was just very supportive. And the first time he saw me, you know, really start doing it more and more, he realized that watching me do it, he couldn't see me doing anything else. He saw the passion and the love that I had for it, and watching each person and what they thought that there was no way they could do something, but ha, I could disrupt them and show them what they could do.
Yeah.
So it was very exciting.
Yeah, that's exciting and very empowering. But yeah. I mean, as we kind of talked about last night, all three of us, MS is our life. And that to a certain extent is our choice. I mean, we got diagnosed with the disease. We didn't go pick it up. But now that we have it, it's our life. And so I wonder, do you ever get away from the disease? Do you ever want to get away from the disease? Or are you like, no, this is where I'm supposed to be? I mean, how do you, what do you,
Good question. So I think, yeah, for sure. Like at the end of the day, both my husband and I will look at each other and we'll say, okay, it's time to stop now. And I have, do not disturb on my phone, and I put it on, and then it's time out. MS time is done. And now it's just us. It's us and our puppy. And he's not really a puppy anymore. And just enjoy each other. And when we go on a date, it's MS is done. And we're just going to enjoy each other. If we're going to go on a hike or on a bike ride, it's enjoy each other. And it's not going to be about MS. Until I get overheated. I got to go dip myself in a water or something. But you know what I mean? Where it's just that enjoy time and not, we're not going to talk about MS stuff.
And I think that's an important lesson for all of us living with the disease or any of us listening who have a chronic illness, that there's a time and a place. And if you have the power and you can shut it off for even 15 minutes, just to just be by yourself or be with your spouse or your partner where you don't talk about the disease that you're living with. I think that's a really, that's a powerful lesson.
I'm thinking of this, and this is where I, you know, just relating to a lot of what you're experiencing and what you talk about, and like last night and just everything you and Lance talked about. I mean, in terms of MS, and then people say, oh, well, MS doesn't define me. Okay, well, I always think, okay, well, here we are, a couple takes on MS. And I think, you know, 85, 90% of any posting I have on any of my social media platforms is about multiple sclerosis. Yet I won't say that MS defines who I am. It's just like I always say, we're redefining what MS is. I mean, you have a podcast, you have all of these support groups, all these things, MS Disrupted, and that's your brand. I mean, how do you then, or does MS define you?
You know what? I don't think that, no, I really don't believe that it does. It is it's silly for us to say that it is not a huge part of our life. I think that's goofy. Say that. I'm like, it isn't really? How did you get away with that? But, I think there's no way around it being, for me, I don't know about you, Dan, I don't know if you feel this, but when you're pregnant, it's like, it's a part of your every day because you can't really get around it. It's in your tummy. It grows. You're getting bigger with this life inside of you. So I feel like there's no way to get around the fact that every day you're dealing with this thing, this unwanted visitor that isn't leaving. So I think that, you know, as we talked about the grieving process, the same thing. You grieve, I think, every year, every other year, you grieve more things that you lose. You grieve more things that are changing. So I think it changes every so often. And I think that as much as I don't believe it defines me, and I think a lot of that has to do with my faith, I would say that my faith defines me more than multiple sclerosis defines me.
Nice.
Yeah, that's very powerful. And I imagine for you, and I feel confident speaking for Dan and for me myself, faith is very comforting, and that's a place where we can go and get recharged. And maybe that's the strength that helps us sustain all that we do. Because Kathy, you know, if you look when we put this in our liner notes, when we air this podcast, you will see you do so much. And I just wonder, how do you keep going? But you, in this conversation, you've made it very clear you enjoy what you do, and that's what sustains you. So yes. I guess, is there any other thing that you want the listeners to know about Kathy or multiple sclerosis?
I would love them to try a Zoom class and just try it out. The first one is free. And I think just getting rid of the scary feeling that I think with exercise, there's that if you haven't done it with multiple sclerosis or you're concerned or fearful, you have this idea that you've got to be, you're in a gym and you're picturing weights and you're picturing scary things like burpees and jump squats. And I think that try it. And I think you're going to be very pleasantly surprised at what this is and how it really is for us. And it's very, very different. And I think that you'll be very pleased. So you can look that up right on the website at msdisrupted.com and it'll take you right there.
Excellent.
Perfect. And we'll have everything about Kathy Chester in the liner notes for this, driving people if you didn't get that on, you know, the notes yeah. and stuff. But I mean, just what you have is so incredible and what you do and bring. So I guess then my question then, you have all of this empire of which you are building. What's next for Kathy Chester?
Oh, thank you. A book. That's next, a book.
I would encourage audiobook as well. I have that. That would be so awesome. I'd be first in line.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's my heart desire is to get a book out. And audiobook, that's what I do with my eyesight is so bad. Yep. So I listen to audiobooks all the time.
And you have a beautiful voice, and I think you would be a wonderful to read the book. It would be great, great narration.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank
so,
you.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for taking the time to chat with us today. And
it's truly an honor.
It's always fun to talk with you. And again, we will have everything for the listeners. Go to the liner notes. You can have all the links to get involved with Kathy and see what she's doing, see how you can get involved in fitness and helping yourself in living with multiple sclerosis. So until next time, take care. This is a community and we're not in this alone. And so until next time, we are a couple takes on MS. I'm Dan Digman.
I'm Jennifer Digman.
And we are a couple takes on MS. I'm walking.
I'm rolling.
But together, we're moving forward. Take care.